Today is all about learning and development. Having just attended the Online Educa conference in Berlin as a speaker, I'll be sharing with you some innovative learning techniques and some insights about the future of education. You'll gain some valuable insights into how technology is reshaping learning environments. And given that most presenters are also professional educators, I'll be sharing some practical strategies to enhance engagement and retention next time you need to teach something or inspire people. We'll discuss interactive methods that go beyond PowerPoint as we focus on creating meaningful connections with your audience. You'll also hear about exciting examples from the conference, including the use of escape rooms and gamification in education, which can transform learning into an engaging experience. We'll discover how these approaches not only make learning fun in potentially dangerous situations, but also significantly improve knowledge retention. If you're thinking about attending or presenting next year, then this episode will help you to decide how to invest your learning and development time and attention. Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together, we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. Every business conversation that you have takes you closer to or further away from your goal. So this show is about getting both informal and formal conversations right. Whether that's a confidential personal chat with a key player on your team or on the stage in front of hundreds of industry experts. What you say and how you say it counts. And if leadership is your goal, then being able to influence people will accelerate the process. At the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show. Perhaps you'll be brave enough to rise to Coco's communication challenge. You'll get to try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips at work, because listening about leadership and leading are not the same thing, honey. I'm Corinne Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with almost 25 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that someone with their knowledge and experience deserves through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to really show up as the English speaking expert. So let's get cracking, shall we?
Those of you following me on LinkedIn and Instagram will know that last week I was at the Online Educa in Berlin. Just follow the hashtag OEB24 for lots of incredible insights. Given that I live in Berlin, I could have attended this conference a lot earlier. But it was Dr. Eva Becker that encouraged me to get involved as a speaker as we started planning our Community of Practice workshop on the Friday. But I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, although I love to nerd out about learning, teaching, coaching, consultancy, and pretty much anything communication and professional development specific, I always thought that Online Educa was more for further education. Certainly, if you look at the list of exhibitors, that's the impression you get. Disappointingly, 70% of the exhibitors were offering pretty much the same thing, making the exhibition less inspiring than I'd hoped for. But I did discover a couple of exceptions, and I'll be sharing my insights shortly, maybe on another episode. So Online Educa Berlin has been going for ages. It's a really established conference focusing on digital learning and communication. So the focus of the conference this year was the future of education. And those of you that know how much I enjoy experimenting with technologies and techniques to really optimize learning will not be surprised to discover that this topic is right up my alley. So given that focus, I was surprised to see grown men and women hiding behind PowerPoints, rather than claiming their space on the stage. Yes, there was plenty of Mentimeter voting. I believe that they were a sponsor. But beyond that, interactivity was painfully limited. We sat there like punished boys and girls being talked at. I thought that education had moved on beyond that. But sadly, the PISA wooden spoon holders, Germany, is still clinging on to the familiar for dear life. So interacting with your audience, whether it's in the classroom, meeting room, boardroom, or Teams room, it's vital the more that our lives are dominated by technology, the harder we need to work in learning and development to establish those connections and relationships. That's what boosts learning, both in terms of the speed of acquisition and the retention of that knowledge. Think back to your own favourite educators at school or university. They made knowledge interesting, fascinating, intriguing. They pulled you in with storytelling and made you feel seen, appreciated, and valued. These core values and principles of teaching are still the same. Let's not allow our egos or the technology to strip us of our educating superpowers. So anyway, the first day was a Speaks workshop focused almost exclusively on AI or KI for my German listeners. I'm forever getting those two mixed up. Don't get me wrong, I too, as a multilingual entrepreneur, am an advocate of artificial intelligence and use Perplexity, DeepL and NeuroWriter regularly, also with clients, but please, not in isolation. Give your learners and listeners a reason to learn. Give them a purpose. Give them the why. In an anxious attempt to please the press and flush the fears of AI out of the system, there was an ongoing dialogue about how jobs won't be lost, but the skills will be shifted and tasks will change. I call that out as bullshit. Let's not pretend that AI will free up knowledge workers for relationship building. Those are largely different skill sets. If you are doing a highly repetitive job, you do need to start thinking about your future career options. And if you need someone as a sparring partner, just book in for a virtual tea break and perhaps I can help you. If not, I'll recommend someone, but I certainly won't lie to you or sugarcoat the truth. For sure, communication technologies are reshaping learning environments. And as a dinosaur of online learning that struggled for almost 30 years to convince people of the magic of e-learning, that's a refreshing and very welcome development. But still, there is a tendency to talk about technology as the solution, rather than a means to an end. Yes, the passionate trainers and coaches are all about creating the human experience. And we are learning differently now, more autonomously, more asynchronously. So digital transformation is undoubtedly part of the process. But surely we shouldn't really be thinking about that still, right? That should be a given. That was discussed. But what was missing to my mind was meaningful examples to get your teeth into. Give me a specific example, share an experience or something really concrete to appear more credible. The more details, the better. No need for names, but break it down and be specific. So the best moderator by far was a gentleman called Philipp Hüllermann. He's German, but moderated in excellent, charming English. Moderating is a completely different skill set to speaking, and he did an excellent job of introducing the speakers and then fielding questions in a very relatable way from the audience. It's tempting at a conference like this to keep life simple, as the organisers, by asking speakers that will already be at the event to take on the role of moderator. But not every speaker is a good moderator. And not every moderator is a good speaker. Likewise, it's one thing to give a speech and another to lead a workshop or facilitate a session. Some people can do both, or two or three of these things, but they are very different skill sets. Going forward, it would make Online Educa a more professional and valuable experience, in my opinion, for the learning and development participants, if experienced or professional moderators like Ben Monday or Michaela Gallon were able to moderate the sessions. This would be an additional expense, but I believe that it's the details like this that matter. So the absolute highlight of the conference as a delegate for me was the session about escape rooms. We had two specific examples from two different universities, and perhaps I can provide a corporate example next year. I'm already speaking to Dr. Madeline Sheldren and her business partner about that. Maddie shared some inspiring insights about how escape rooms are actually a lot easier to create than people might think. She's creating escape rooms professionally, so she was able to share some wonderful ideas and really made the benefits of escape rooms really obvious. I cannot imagine that there was a single person in the audience that wasn't thinking actively about how to create their own escape room by the end of that session. Gamification and escape rooms make learning a lot of fun, and that is what makes the lessons stick. Pia Siitonen from Finland shared a fascinating example of how pharmacy students could overcome a very real panic about going into the chemist for the first time. Can you imagine how nerve-wracking that can be? And so making this a fun, low-pressure activity, a learning activity, she removed all of that. So very, very clever. Claudia Opera and Marina Petrova from ESMT here in Berlin shared their idea about how they were using their snow adventure to teach students leadership skills. Now, to my mind, it was difficult to really get your head around what this looks like or entailed, and I'm not sure whether they were keeping their cards to their chest or were beat by the tech firewall, but the impression left on the audience was vague. Their project involved VR goggles, and perhaps a workshop would have been a more suitable way to demonstrate this exciting new approach to teaching through a new technology. So I would have loved to have seen a video demonstration that highlighted not the beautiful setting and, you know, scenery, but the powerful learning outcomes and how they got to that aha moment about leadership skills. So as you can see in this podcast episode, I am giving you a review of the OB24 conference from a communication perspective. If you know anybody that organises conferences or in-house training events, bar camps or unconferences as they are called outside of Germany, then feel free to share it with them. There was also a great session by the author of the book Time Boxing, a physical copy of which was generously included in the delegates' goodie bag for Speak's Wednesday workshop. Mark Sue Sanders is clearly happier writing and leading than speaking, but his modest and approachable speaking style made him easy to listen to. He had just the right amount of humour and storytelling. He talked about the practical things in life that hold you back. For example, embracing that incy-wincy word, no. He asked questions, pulled you into his message with anecdotes, scenarios and relatable situations that we all find ourselves in. He did not stay fixed in one place. No, he moved around from one side of the stage to the other, intentionally, really bringing in his audience and capturing their attention. He looked at every single person in the audience. I know, because I was watching very carefully. As a communication coach, it's kind of impossible not to. He used lists and emotional language like rabbit holes, feeling helpless and itchy, to express himself excellently. At the end, he let Beyonce do the talking, but actually, he had already pulled us into his message, and I am sure that the keen readers like me in the audience will already have started reading his book. As an author, dedicating the time and attention to speaking is critical. As an official TEDx coach, I can assure you that learning to embrace that stage, the lights, the microphone, and the expectation in the audience is a beautiful, transformative process. So by the Wednesday, we had listened a lot, met lots of new, smart and fun people, consumed lots of information, and on top of that, we'd been treated to exceptional snacks and lunch. The Intercontinental really spoiled us with delicious, beautifully presented and healthy food. Not easy at such a scale. Now, by now, that feeling of knowledge apathy was beginning to set in. And you know that feeling when you're starting to feel a bit maxed out at a conference? Well, our workshop was at 2:30 in the afternoon on the Friday in Queen. Well, I am British, so a perfect choice for me. But the timing, not so. We had the graveyard shift. So I'd organised fuel, helium balloons, and we were wearing our We Are Future Educators black and orange t-shirts. Eva and I could not wait to get people moving and thinking. Our topic was communities of practice, which, if done right, can massively improve communication and collaboration. They are popular in theory, but really difficult to keep running in the long run, especially in the corporate learning environments that Eva and I are working in. Now, initially, I thought it was going to be a small, intimate group, as people were kind of slow to arrive. But actually, the room filled up nicely. Eva and I had already been very clear that this would be a workshop. Work, honey. Not more of the same. So we removed the chairs and there were two big tables set up to brainstorm at. We did a quick intro, introducing some mugshots or photos of our small but dynamic community of practice, Fuel, and it all started with an Erasmus Plus programme. But that was over 2 years ago, and even now we still meet once a month. That's right, over 2 years afterwards, practically unheard of. There are a lot of silent, parked and neglected communities out there following events, training courses and e-learning programmes, even WhatsApp groups. So what's our secret sauce? Well, we shared our DNA and then we got them busy in two groups to identify their own DNA. We were so keen to get going and power up the energy in the room that we neglected doing a round of introductions. Not a problem. During the exercise, there was enough time to introduce themselves. There was scepticism in the room as to how you can keep a community alive for so long, something that nobody in the room had heard of. So how did we establish this safe space? And more importantly, how could they do the same in their industry or organisation? There was plenty of head scratching, idea swapping, and of course, plenty of objections to overcome. After all, this is a time investment, right? This is something that we all struggle with. They focused on what's in it for me. As they left with twinkles in their eyes and hope in their hearts, we must have inspired them to embrace the idea of collaboration because as people left the room, they were still chatting about how they could roll this out. Fuel is our community of practice, but Eva and I are really looking forward to hearing from these workshop participants about their own COPs. So the Online Educa in Berlin is an event that learning and development experts and hands-on CEOs should plan for the next year. It's always in December, just as the Christmas markets are opening and the city is more beautiful and magical than ever. Open your schedule and reserve the December the 3rd to December the 5th in 2025, and I'll see you in Berlin. If you plan to attend as a delegate, do consider going to one of the workshops there before the event. And please, let's have more representation from learning and development professionals from industries outside of EdTech. All you have to do is submit a call for papers. It's easier than you think. If you follow them on social media and you sign up for their newsletter, you'll be the first to find out. If you need help, just reach out. Eva and I can help you. Finally, if you have been selected as a speaker and you are asked to moderate, then make sure that you do so intentionally. Take that responsibility seriously, because there will be some resources and tips on my webpage in the next week or so, or maybe even a future episode to help you with this unique skill. So the important thing to remember after any conference or learning event is to follow up. And that's what I'll be doing next. I've already reached out to my top five connections and I'm looking forward to an exciting 2025. If you have yet to really plan your career in 2025, why not join Sonia Kuliak and I for our challenge starting on Monday, the 9th of December. It starts with three daily career questions to think about in your email box. And then we'll get to meet you at the live kickoff meeting on Wednesday, the 11th of December, between 12 and 1:30. There will be six more career questions to write down and think about. And then we'll meet again for a fast and fabulous action plan meeting a week later on the 18th of December, just in time for the Christmas break. So to sign up, there's a link in the show notes. If you know of an amazing professional who isn't getting the career breaks or opportunities that she deserves, encourage her to join us or come together. It costs you nothing, but the impact will make you thankful that you attended. That's all for me today. It's been really great being at the Online Educa last week. I'm full of ideas, I'm full of inspiration, and I can't wait to put some of these wonderful ideas into action. So if you're working with me, great, you're going to get to see all of that firsthand. And if not, why don't we jump on a virtual tea break? Really simple, really easy. So the link for that is in the show notes, and there will be lots of new, very, very cool links and resources to go with this episode. So do head over to EnglishSpeakingExperts.com to find out more. That's it for today. Have a fabulous week, and I look forward to speaking to you on the next episode of Experts Speak English. Goodbye.